Go ahead and turn into your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. And really the actual text for tonight would have come out of Exodus 1 and 2, but I just want to read this verse really to emphasize the story, and then we'll talk more about it. I was thinking Sunday night after Pastor Townsley preached the message that he preached, the great message that the truth is, there is a time, I mean, there is an appointed time, and things change if they don't change. Thinking about the role of God's people, you know, if the Lord gets us out of here, that settles it for us, doesn't it? And that's great, but you never know what we may face, you never know what any individual might face in an individual life, and the things that the trials and all that come. And so I was thinking, even while he was preaching, what's our role? What's our job? And it's this: it's to be faithful. Amen. And that's what I've been thinking about really ever since then: faithfulness. And so I want to look at some folks here this evening that were faithful, really through the fire, not the literal fire like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but they were faithful through a very difficult set of circumstances. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 23. The Bible says, "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment." Heavenly Father, help us now as we take a look at the scriptures this evening. Please be with us. I pray that you would challenge us and encourage us. Help me to speak clearly. Help me to communicate the thoughts from your word clearly. And help our hearts to be ready for what you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. In Exodus chapters 1 and 2, and we might refer back, we'll go back there in a little bit, but you also might want to take a look at them after you get home this evening. But there's two troubling edicts that are issued by Pharaoh regarding children. They kind of, the one outdoes the other when it comes to what he commanded to be done. These edicts were cruel, and they were aimed at curtailing the population of the children of Israel. The Lord had moved them providentially into the land of Egypt and had used that as sort of an incubator to grow up his people that would be his nation. And of course, it was not his plan that they stay there indefinitely. It was understood that God had promised through Abraham, Isaac, and then Jacob that there would be a land that they would inherit. And Joseph was so much convinced of that. Verse 22 of Hebrews 11, it tells us, it reminds us about the commandment he gave concerning his bones, that when you leave, don't leave my bones here. Where you're getting out of here, and it would be quite some time after Joseph passed away before they would go back. But God had raised up his nation really in the land of Egypt, and it was a threat to the Egyptians. It was a threat to the Pharaohs. They sought to control them and kind of curtail and tamp down that population. So he gave a command. The Pharaoh gave a command. First of all, the first one was delivered to the Hebrew midwives. He told them, he said, whenever there's a baby being born, it's determined that it's a boy, then that boy is to be put to death. Kind of during that process, he's not even to be fully delivered to his mother. It's to be put to death. It's a tremendous story. Because those midwives took a stand and determined they were not going to be a part of such a heinous crime against those little children, and they had to no doubt hazard their lives to take a stand, and there was a story that they gave as to why it happened, and we could get into the interesting nuances of the ethics of the situation. But I'll tell you this: the Bible says God blessed them for what they did. And I think they're to be appreciated for the courage that they showed. Well, when that wasn't working, they were still babies being born, male babies being born to the to the Hebrew women, Pharaoh issued a second edict, which was more simple and also more direct. And it was that all baby boys would be cast into the river. They would be done away with. It'd be, whether they're after birth, what, if they're discovered, they're put in the river. If you have one, you're to put them in the river. That was the command. It's amazing to think about the cruelty of it. But it's also amazing, as a side note here, to consider what evil people are willing to do to children in order to protect their agenda. It's not a new thing. And there is no, as far as I can tell, there's no bottom to the depth of the depravity that people will go to use children in order to promote their agenda. And may God help us as a nation if we condone such things. And so that was exactly what was taking place here. And when you read that, I think, you know, God gives us these accounts of things that happened, and I think He does so obviously on purpose to help us. And so I think you should put yourself in those shoes a little bit. You know, it's easy. It's easy to look back through a few thousand years of history and go, there's no way I would have done it. You know, I'd have defied the Pharaoh. You know, but put yourself there. Imagine the stress that was on parents during that time. You know, imagine the pressure that was on them. You find out a mother's expecting a child, and imagine immediately the anxiety that would set in upon them. What if it's a boy? What are we going to do? How are we going to handle it? I mean, the government is mandating this thing. The government has the force of law behind it, and the penalty of law behind it, and all the things you can imagine there. And now you're faced with this just torturous situation. In what should be one of the most jubilant, exciting times in any home, you're faced with this torturous situation of how are we going to handle this? How are we going to deal with it? We got to remember there were consequences of not obeying. We think about the pressure that even would have been on this family. We know from the accounts of Exodus chapter 1 and 2 and then on through Exodus that Moses, when he was born, was not the oldest child. There were other children that were there. Miriam and Aaron were already born at that point. Could imagine that all through that time, as they're thinking about what was going to come, that a mom or a dad might gaze upon their other children and go, what if us trying to protect the one ends up in the damage or the harm of the other because the weight of law comes down upon us and we have to do that. It would have been a difficult situation. There's no doubt what the right thing to do would be, but the pressure would have been intense. Like every person sitting in this building tonight, if I passed you out a piece of paper and said, pass the test, what's the right thing to do in this situation? In a nice, comfortable pew in a building where we are allowed to meet freely and do all that, it would be very easy for everybody to pass that test. But I don't want the clarity of what was right versus wrong here. Don't miss the intensity of the pressure that would have been upon them, been imposed upon them to do a certain thing here. And the fear of the consequences that might would come if they didn't do the right thing. It's during this intensive time period that we're introduced to two people of faith. And they're Moses' parents. Hebrews 11:23. Now, and this is why I went here as opposed to Exodus 1 and 2 this evening, because it makes very clear what motivated them to do what they did. When you read Exodus 1 and 2, it's presented in a lot of ways as a step of practicality of this is how how it came to pass. But Hebrews 11:23 makes it very clear when it says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, just talking about his birth, was hid 3 months of his parents. Now, Moses is not the one here with the faith. He's an infant. He was born. He didn't hide himself. He didn't conceal himself. He didn't make this decision himself, although I'm sure he would have been in favor of it if he could have. But it was the parents on behalf of Moses making this decision of faith. The Bible says, was hid 3 months because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. And so they were motivated by faith. Now it says here, it says they saw that he was a proper child in Exodus chapter 2 in verse 2, the account given there. It was they saw that he was a goodly child. And so that, but I don't let that confuse you. I don't think that that when Moses was born, Moses' mother held him up and go, yeah, I guess we'll keep him. You know, this one will pass. I think we should probably try to protect him. You know, her eyes fall and she sees Aaron in the corner. Now, if that rule, no, she wasn't thinking like that. I don't think that's how it was saying. As a matter of fact, the Bible, Hebrews 11, takes all doubt out of it. The Bible says it was a decision made by faith as to what they did. I don't think that phrasing should cause us to believe that Moses' parents would have acted differently if the baby had been weakened in some way. I think that when they saw this newborn baby, their faith was steeled that there is no way we're going to do what this king said to do. When we're faced with an upcoming problem or pressure, we might know the right thing to do. However, we may also fear whether or not we will have the courage to do so. You ever thought through something ahead of time and go, I don't know how I'll react. I don't know what I'll do. I don't know if I'll do the right thing. I might know what the right thing. Maybe you've had a situation at work like that where it's like, I don't know. I know what I should do, but I don't know if I can follow through when the time comes. But there's something about when it comes and it's in front of you. It's like that switch flip, that switch flips within you and you go, no, this is it. I know this is what faith says that I must do. And you do it with all your might. You probably had encounters with people where, you know, you got to speak up, got to say, I do this. I talk to people every now and then. I remember talking to someone not that long ago. They were talking about a new job they were starting and how, you know, there's some things they're hoping that they could avoid. And it was kind of just, and then, you know, just, I hope I can, you know, do the right thing. And then I asked them about it later and they go, you know what? The Lord just worked it out. Amen. So I think when Moses' parents, she had carried that child and delivered that child, I think at that moment, that there was no turning back. After they were introduced to him and after they, there was a, I will die rather than comply to what this king has to say. You see, it was theory up until that moment. But it became very real when they saw Moses and they realized, you know what, this is something that has been given to us by God. And there's certainly a lot of this isn't really a parenting message necessarily this evening, but my, you can't hardly get past it without missing some of those points there. Moses, you can say, was a great man of faith, but he saw an example of faith in his home. He understood what God had done. Moses had that pattern that was set in some way before him, and there were parents there that were determined, were not giving him over to Pharaoh. We're not going to do what Pharaoh wants him to do. You know, parents, there's a Pharaoh in this world that wants to dictate to us what happens to our children. And we, with the courage of Moses' parents, need to steel our faith and go, we're not going to give them over. We're not going to hand them over to the world to raise and the world to indoctrinate and the world to influence, that we're going to be intentional in how we take care of them and how we hide them. And that's what Moses' parents did. So when we're faced with an upcoming problem, I mean, you think about how, you know, what Pastor Towsley preached and what, you know, he was alluding to there. What if, you know, things kept going in the direction that they're going in? What if there was an intense pressure placed upon people that we are not you. What would we do? You're facing a problem. What do? The key is this. Be faithful and trust God to do what you know He can do. Be faithful today and trust that God will give us the courage of faith for tomorrow, that we'll have everything we need to do what we need to do tomorrow when the trial comes. Amen. These folks made their decision by faith. Moses' parents joined a long line of those who were faithful through the fire. I've thought about, I keep thinking of people in the Scripture, thinking about maybe preaching on a few others over the next, couple times, that preach on a few others that walked through intense trial. And yet they were faithful through that trial. They were faithful through that fire. I want you to notice about these folks some things this evening. First of all, they were faithful in their priority. They're faithful in their priority. They looked at and consented to the fact, when this baby was born, they consented to the fact that they were dealing with a precious life that had been given to their care by God. Amen. It was a stewardship. The Bible says in Paul states to the Corinthian church, he says, moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. What's a steward? A steward is one who cares for and superintends the things of someone else. Joseph in the house of Potiphar was a steward. And the Lord has granted us things. Everything He's given us. I mean, everything we have is given to us by God. We should be good stewards of it. And certainly our children it's a stewardship. And they recognized that. They recognized that this was a precious life that had been given to them to care for by God. Their priorities were ordered by their theology. Man was created in the image of God. God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Their priority was not established out of because of who Moses was. Moses was a nobody at this point. He said, they saw that he was a good child. Yeah, every parent thinks their child's going to change the world when they're born, right? There's no way that they knew who Moses was in his fullness. At this point, he was just a baby that had been born to them, a random family dealing in this terrible situation. That's who he was, but he was a person created in the image and likeness of God. He was a person that came from the line of breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Their priority was established because of who God was, not because of who Moses was. Likewise, their priority was established because of who God was, not because of who Pharaoh was. Their priority was established not because of who Egypt was or what Egypt was, but because of who God is. We should let God establish our priorities. We should let Him make the determination of what is important. We should let Him put the emphasis where the emphasis should be, so that when we make decisions, even in a stressful situation like they were dealing with, an intense situation where it is without question of what comes first. It is without question of where we stand. When that child was born, it became without question to them that we will not follow through on what Pharaoh wants us to do. We'll not cave to what the Egyptians want us to do. We will do what God wants us to do and nothing else. Amen. Do we have that determination? How we can guarantee that determination for tomorrow is to have that same determination today. Are you faithful in your priorities? Are we allowing our theology, who God is? Are we allowing Him to establish that which is of the utmost importance in our lives? Are we allowing Him to order things? And are we interested in adhering to that order that He has established and He has given us, that we can see in His book and we can see in His word and we can learn about us and learn about this world in which we live? Are we willing to be faithful in those priorities, even if it becomes unpopular to do so? What happens if a society turns against Christians, well, our priorities will be tested. As our priorities are tested, so our theology will be tested. Really, a test of our priorities is really going to be a test about what we think about God. What we know about God. It was not an option within them to abandon the truth for the sake of personal comfort. I mean, think about the cost that they would have paid just for a few days of personal comfort of knowing, hey, we've complied, we've done what Pharaoh wants us to do. Think about the cost that it would have been. It wasn't worth it to them. They made a decision to be faithful in their priorities. We must allow God to establish our priorities and then remain faithful to them. So first of all, they were faithful in their priorities. Secondly, they were faithful in their fear. And you say, what are you talking about? Look at back to Hebrews 11 in verse 23. It says, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child. And notice, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. They were not afraid of the king's commandment. In Matthew chapter number 10, verses 16 through 26, we won't thought about going there, but for time's sake, we won't read the entire passage. But in that passage, Jesus tells his disciples of some of the things that they would face from those who would seek to stop them. There were people going to be very interested in stopping the message of the gospel going out through the disciples. And Jesus told them about it. He said, they're going to try to persecute you. They'll do all these things. But then he got down to verse 26 in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 26. The Bible says this, fear them not, therefore. Now he's talking about people that had the ability, had power to do things to them, to wield the sword. And we can certainly see that. Stephen wasn't one of the disciples, one of the 12, if you will. But Stephen was a disciple in the sense that he followed Christ and he followed him right to his death. We see him in Acts chapter number 7. He was stoned to death. And why? Why was he stoned to death? Because people wanted him to be quiet. Well, he told his disciples, even those with that power, he said, fear them not, therefore. For there's nothing covered that shall not be revealed and hid that shall not be known. He told them, he said, don't be afraid of them. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 23, it said, they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Now, I don't know about you. I can't imagine that they went through with this without any nervousness. I don't think that's what it's talking about here. I think if you look at Exodus 1 and 2, Exodus chapter 2 specifically regarding most of this, you see the nervousness that was there. Why would they hide him if they weren't nervous? They hid him until he couldn't keep him quiet any longer. You know, why would they do that if they weren't nervous about it? I mean, if they just, you know, hey, look, I got this baby. What are you going to do about it? So it wasn't that they weren't dealing with some natural human anxiety over the issue of what to do here. But what it's talking about is they feared their God above the Pharaoh. They had to determine whom would they show their allegiance? To whom would they show their allegiance? And to whom would they be accountable? Elijah, teaching on him in kind of a college-age Sunday school class next door, Elijah, when he delivered a message of judgment to Ahab, 1 Kings 17, he goes into Ahab and he said, it's not going to rain. And basically, God put it on him in such a way, on Elijah in such a way where it was going to be when Elijah prayed that the rain came. So it's not going to rain, and Elijah's going to be the one that gets the blame for it not raining. But here's what he said. It says, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, Ahab was the king of Israel, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand. Now, wait a second. He's standing before Ahab. He's talking to Ahab. What's he talking about? He's talking about this truth that Moses' parents lived out, which is this. I might be talking to Ahab, but I'm accountable to God. I might be staring at Ahab, but one day I will stand before my God to give an account for what I do here, for what I do here today. You see, Moses' parents, they were faithful in their accountability. They were faithful in their fear. They feared God above man. They were more concerned. They cared more about what God thought about what they did than they cared about what Pharaoh thought about what they did. They were more concerned about the consequences of not obeying their God than they were obeying the edict of a man named Pharaoh. Furthermore, they understood that their God had the power to bring that Pharaoh to his knees if he needed to. And by the way, that baby that was born, God would use to bring the Pharaoh of the land of the time to their very knees. These folks, just like Elijah, stood before God before they stood before any man. Moses' parents adopted this mindset when they were faced with the trial of fire that they would deal with. We got to remember that our chief accountability is always our accountability to our God. He said they were not afraid of the king's commandments. Third thing, we have two more things here. We'll move quickly. Number three, they were faithful even in solitude. I don't think it's actually proper here to assume that everybody else just went and threw these babies in the river. I doubt that that's the case. This is the one that we are told about. And obviously so, God would use this one and use Moses in a particular way. However, this was a very personal battle that they faced. No matter, it's not like you could have a Hebrew mom's Facebook group of all the people hiding babies from Pharaoh at the time. It wasn't like you could have a rally where everybody got together and said, no, that wasn't happening. But even though I don't know, the scripture doesn't record, I don't know what everybody else did, but I know for every person that made this decision, it was a very personal thing, and it was no doubt a very lonely thing. They had to hide him. It was his sister, Miriam. It was Moses' sister that they would send to watch over him. Their daughter, they would put, at a distance to watch over him. They had to feel like the entire nation of Egypt was against them. There's lots of folks who are currently raising children now, or you've been parents. How many of you remember the first time when you were a new parent that you brought your infant out in public to like a restaurant somewhere? I remember that. There was a couple of thoughts. First of all, it was like, am I allowed to do this? That was one thought. And second of all, every peep that child made, you were so obviously convinced that they were overwhelming the restaurant with what happened. I remember that so much that now if I'm ever out somewhere and I'm anywhere near a parent that, set of parents, and you can tell it's kind of a new baby situation, and that baby starts to make noise, and if they're conscientious, which that's not always the case, but if they're conscientious and they're like, you can tell they're worried, and I'm sitting there worried they're going to smother the child or something, just. I try to let them know, listen, it's all right. I've been there before. These stories about these people on airplanes that go crazy because of babies. I mean, they obviously never had them before. My heart goes out to those folks when you hear those, because the concern that they have of imagine the concern of Moses' parents here when they've got him hidden, and it's not that he's not making noise, just they can conceal it at that point. Every peep, every whimper, they had to be on pins and needles going, how do we do, how do we keep this quiet? It was a very personal thing, but they were faithful even in solitude. They remained faithful even when it seemed like the odds were stacked against them. Who are we to stand against the nation of Egypt? Who are we to stand against the Pharaoh? Who are we to be able to do this? Who are we? No doubt in three months of that going on, no doubt there were many tears shed over the situation of, I don't know how much longer I can handle this or how much longer we can do this and what's going to happen. No doubt that burden was there and that burden was present. But you know what? They remained faithful in their solitude. I'm glad of all the promises we have in the Word of God. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I'm glad for things like in John chapter 14 where he tells us about the Comforter that will come. And he's with us all the time and everywhere. And even in those moments of solitude where maybe one's faithfulness is tested, that still small voice of the sweet peace of the Holy Spirit it kind of does something in our heart and soul to let us know, hey, just press along, weary pilgrim. It'll be okay. They were faithful in their solitude. And then the fourth thing is they were faithful in their commitment. This is where I wish really for time's sake we could go and just kind of dig in and reread the account there in Exodus chapter 2. If you remember what they did when Moses got to the point they just weren't going to be able to keep him concealed any longer, that mother went and gathered bulrushes and wove together what is called an ark, a little basket of sort. And she pitched it within and without, and she made sure that thing was watertight. Can you imagine a mom's heart doing that and following through with that? Because this is, I got to do something. And she does that, and she takes that baby and puts him in that basket and puts him, I believe, the way it's described in the flags of the river. I think it was in that river system, off in the weeds somewhere, basically to where it wouldn't float away. And she had to leave that baby there and walk away. And as I was studying and preparing for this, I saw a note that I wrote next to in my margin of my Bible in Exodus chapter number 2. And I wrote down this some time ago. I wrote down, they didn't leave him in a river. They left him in God's hands. They were faithful with their commitment. They committed him, not to a river. They committed him to the hand of God to be with him and to protect him. Physically, they put him in that river. But in reality, she committed that child to the hand of God. She had done everything she could do. And it was very much in Hebrews 11, it was a both of them thing. It was the parents both were involved. They'd done everything they could do. And then they entrusted that child to the Lord. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 11 says, through faith Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age. And it says this, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Amen. We can be faithful as long as we judge our God to be faithful who has promised. Amen. They were faithful in their commitment. In other words, the story of their life is that they were faithful to the point where all they could do is leave it with God and trust Him to do what was right and to bring it to pass. Now, I know I mentioned, you know, Pastor Townsley's sermon and these are very weighty things he's talking about there. And this is what really sparked, well, what if things go. What's our chief goal? It's to be faithful. It's to keep doing what God's given us to do. But there might be somebody right here, right now, that you need to be faithful. You need to continue in your faithfulness. And part of that is just continuing and leaving it in God's hands to do with it as only He can do. You've even in solitude remained faithful. You've put Him first. You've chosen to fear Him, and you've chosen that you're there's no way you're going back on it, and it's a your priorities are right, and now it's time to just leave it with Him. I'd encourage you, as it were, whatever it takes, to just, as it were, put the basket together, make sure it's sure, and lay it there in the river, and say, Lord, I'm trusting you
to do what I cannot do. These folks were faithful through the fire. Dear Lord, we thank you for all that you do.